There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, then he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. I trust the Lord will use his word to speak to our hearts, prepare our hearts as we intend to look at these verses this morning. Shall we remain standing for our opening prayer? We do want to thank you, Father, for each one that could come today. We thank you for this season as we are moving in the direction of the Christmas season upon us, where we especially remember the birth of your Son, whom you sent to be our Savior, to save us from our sins. We thank you for the story. It's so familiar, but we never get tired of hearing it. We thank you that you did not just leave us alone in our sin. We were dead in trespasses and sin. But you devised that plan even before the foundation of the world, whereby you would make redemption possible through your Son, and salvation available to those who would put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would have the freedom to, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, take the truth of your word and open our eyes and show us how this truth applies to us. We pray, Lord, that you would fill me with your Spirit, and that what I say would be led of your Spirit, and what I would perhaps intend to say but ought not be said would as well be led, controlled by your Spirit using me. Lord, thank you that your word quickens. The words of men, they're meaningless. There's no life in them, but your word, it's quick, it's powerful, and it's even sharper than a two-edged sword. And so, Lord, we pray that you would get the glory in the remaining portion of our service as we now devote our time listening to the word of truth. We thank you for this privilege. We thank you for what you are going to show us, and we just bring all this to you, trusting your work, your will, your way, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, again to Romans chapter 8. In case you slept through it, Sin has been the topic of our messages in Romans for a number of weeks. Recently, we've considered, the topic of victory over sin. Last week, we looked at verse 1 of Romans chapter 8, and we considered Paul's amazing claim, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." The background for that claim we saw took us back to chapter 6, where Paul gave us in chapter 6 the basis for making that claim, the basis for victory, which is our union with Christ. Paul taught in that 6th chapter, after he showed us what God had did, he taught us our part in claiming that victory, where in 6:11 he said, "Likewise, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Then he said, "Let not sin, therefore, because of all of this, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members." He's put the responsibility solely in our lap. He said, "Here's what God did for us in Christ. He died to sin. We died with him through our union. We were buried, we were raised again in newness of life." And he says, "Because of that, count on it. Reckon yourself to be dead to sin, and you have a responsibility. What you do with the members of your body, your hands, your eyes, your mouth, your ears, do not yield those things to unrighteousness or unrighteous deeds." In chapter 7, Paul taught, because of what Christ had accomplished, dying to sin, Christ had also sinned. He had died to the law. And we saw that we are from now on free from the dominion of the law. He taught us that in, he used that word in chapter 7. I don't see it right this minute, but I know he did use that word of dominion, and it's lost its power over us. We're free from the dominion of the law and all its demands. But in that 7th chapter, Paul showed the common struggle for victory experienced by numerous individuals. That was in verses 15 through 25, and it is such a struggle that we saw in verse 24 of chapter 7, Paul, after describing that struggle of the things that I ought to be doing, I don't, and the things that I really shouldn't be doing and ought not to be a part, those are the things that I find myself doing. And he cries out in chapter 7, 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me?" And he gave the answer, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." There's the answer. There's the victory. And today we're going to go further on in chapter 8, where Paul is going to begin to teach us. We don't have time to look at the entire 8th chapter, but in chapter 8, Paul speaks of the solution for victory. What's the solution? Who's the solution? It is the Holy Spirit who indwells every true believer. So having said that, let's see number one as our message title this morning. We gave Moving Toward Victory. Moving Toward Victory. And in verses 2-4, let's see Paul validated the claim he made in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And he's going to validate that claim. He's going to show us why he said that in verses 2-4. In verse 23 of chapter 7, Paul said, I see another law in my members, warring against my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. He referred to that law of sin. In verse 2, he refers to that as the law of what in that second verse? The law of sin and death, talking about the same thing, which suggests to us that law is a powerful thing. Very powerful. But the believer has received a new law or principle to overcome or to subdue. And what is that new power? Verse 2 says, as we read 1 and then move on to verse 2, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Why? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That law has no power over me anymore. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Well, that takes us back to verse 25 of chapter 7, when Paul said, could somebody help me, please? What did he say? I thank God through whom? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. What does that have to do with what he is telling us in verse 2 when he says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made or set me free? Well, how does the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the answer in verse 25, coincide with the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? You have the Holy Spirit in you if you are a true believer, and it is the Spirit of whom? Pardon? Spirit of God. Who's Jesus Christ? He's God. So we find that Paul begins his validation of that statement he made, as perhaps his readers were wondering, how can it be that there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ? Remember, we asked the question last week, are you in? That is a place only made possible by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A person does not work to get into Christ. They can't pay money. They can't be good enough. They certainly don't deserve it. But Paul said in Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And therefore, if any man in 2 Corinthians 5:17 be in Christ, he is a what? He is a new creature, creation. Old things not should be passed away. Is that what your Bible says? Not will be passed away someday as you just really work at your Christianity. What does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say about the position of the believer in Christ? Old things what? Are present tense. Passed away. When a person becomes a child of God, scripturally speaking, John chapter 3, we are born again. And in Paul's words in Corinthians, we become a new creature. And the past is what? It is past. We become a new creature in Christ. So that, he could say in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. How could you say that, Paul? Because, verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The living Spirit of God has entered the believer to overcome the death-dealing effects of sin. Notice the tense of his words there in verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, what's the tense? Hath made me free from. Are we going to have to wait for that to happen? Sure hope it happens soon. Why, I can't wait till the day that, as a believer, I'm going to be made free from the law of sin and death. Because, boy, I'm sure tired of that struggle in chapter 7. I'm tired of that defeat of chapter 7. If you're suffering defeat, it's not the problem of the Spirit of God. It's the problem that we saw Paul refer to in chapter 6, verse 11. Therefore, beloved, reckon, count on, believe yourself to be what? Dead indeed unto sin. We're getting here where, do you remember the writer of Hebrews when he said the fact that the time when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are such as have need of milk, not strong meat. Strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What are you saying, Pastor? This stuff is kind of hard to chew, isn't it? Any of you sat here these last few Sunday mornings thinking, my word was that stuff deep. Thank God for it. Thank God for the tremendous truth and teaching of the book of Romans. Oh, beloved, what we would be lacking if the book of Romans were not in our Bibles. One of the most important books in the New Testament. And this is strong meat. This isn't the milk of the word. This is the stuff where we say, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we have to put into practice by the grace of God and by the power of God the truth that Paul is telling us, get what you know in your heads, operative in your Christian walk with the Lord. And so he says, no condemnation. Why? Because the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made you free. You, I, do not have to struggle with sin in our lives. We do not have to be controlled by it. That's what chapter 8 is all about. It is the victory chapter for the believer. Christ defeated sin. He died to it. Chapter 6, he died unto the law. And Paul used the illustration of marriage. The marriage is intact until one partner dies. And then that marriage really, and he said, Christ, we died unto the law in Christ. Why do we let it lead us around like a dumb animal with a ring in its nose? Why do we live so much of our life in defeat? Because we haven't appropriated the blessed truth that Paul is giving us in chapter 8. And he's wanting us to see, first of all, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, past tense, hath made me what? What? Free. Free from what? If you are free from something, that's a nice place to be, isn't it? We are free from the law of sin. Yeah, there was a time, but no longer do we have to be in bondage to it. That old law of sin and death, that law we saw in verse 23 of chapter 7, it was warring against the law of my mind, and it was bringing into captivity to the law of sin, which is in our body. Now, let's continue on. Victory is possible for the believer because of the counteraction of the Holy Spirit. We've already established the fact that the law and sin is a very powerful thing, isn't it? You agree? All right. Let's talk about, remember though, verse 2, and I thought about this as a message title, The Two Laws. If you want to do some study and come up with a Bible study, here you go. Two laws of verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus versus the law of sin and death. But I wanted us to move on. He says two laws here. And we're going to try to illustrate with a simple illustration here. I have a wallet in my hand, and there is a law that is operative right now, and be thankful for it. It's the law of gravity. Aren't you thankful for the law of gravity right now? Do you know if the law of gravity were not in effect, you know what you would be doing? Boink, 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 bouncing around here. But there is a law in effect here. And the law is called gravity. I have my wallet in my hand. I wonder if this law is really operative. Let's see. What do you know? It's not because there's so much money in there. It's because there is an operative law. Let's call that the power, the law in our members of sin and death. And you know, there it lays. Boy, I sure wish I could get victory over that old law of sin and death in my members. Maybe if I try harder, maybe if I work at it more. Do you know that's not the way victory comes? Oh, don't get me wrong. You say, but you said back in chapter 6, we are to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. That is our position in Christ. And Paul said there in Romans 6, 12 and 13, don't let sin reign over your mortal body, but it's raining this morning. The law, I let go. I wasn't paying attention, and it's got me again. And here I am, defeated. Oh, who shall deliver me from? Paul said in verse 25 of chapter 7, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he said in verse 2 of chapter 8, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Yes, there is a very powerful law that if you and I yield our members to it, will have us down. We're dead unto sin, but we're not dead yet. You all look pretty much lively, though some of you have got droopy looking eyes. You're still alive. We're dead indeed unto sin, but we're not dead yet physically. And as long as we are alive physically, that old flesh is going to try to rear up its head and say, yield to me. Look at this. Just one look. Listen to this. Drink that. Try one of these. Oh, I'm going to try harder. Oh, man, I got up this morning and I was not going to, and I did it again. The law of sin and death, but praise God. Verse 2 says there's two laws, and one of them is mighty powerful. But he said, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Does that mean that the Holy Spirit takes away the power and negates the old no more than my lifting up this wallet negated gravity's effectiveness? Because when I let go, when I take my eyes off of and I am no longer yielding and counting on the Holy Spirit for the power to give me victory over this, guess what? I'll fail. And so will you. Well, there must have been something wrong with that law. No, there's nothing wrong with the law. Verse 3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Mark my word, there was nothing wrong with God's law. Remember what we saw in verse 12 of chapter 7? Paul said the law is holy, verse 12. And the commandment holy, and it's just, and it's good. In verse 14 of chapter 7, we know that the law is spiritual. There was nothing wrong with the law that God gave. Well, what was the problem then? Verse 3, Romans 8. The law, there wasn't anything wrong with the law. It had one weakness. And you know what? The weakness was there wasn't a one of us that could fulfill every one of the righteous demands and commands of the law. And we all became losers. We all became defeated. And so God knew that the weakness, he knew there was, he didn't give the law as a way of salvation, but he gave the law, as it tells us in Galatians chapter 3, the law was like a schoolmaster to do what? To do what? Bring us unto whom? Bring us unto Christ. What's good about the law? Paul said, through the law, I think in chapter 7, was the, now I didn't know what sin was until I saw the law said, thou shalt not covet. And then I knew I was a goner because I coveted everything. Through the law is the knowledge of sin. So don't blame it on the law. It's our old sinful flesh. Verse 3, we move on and we see what the Father did. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God, amazing words. Here's your Christmas story. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin. Condemned sin in the flesh. There is the beauty of the Christmas story. And let's make sure we read that third verse right, because there are some who try to take away from the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do they do that? Some translate it like this. God sending his own son in flesh. In flesh. Well, he could have been the flesh of a bird. He could have been the flesh of a dog. He could have been the flesh of an elephant. just in, we got to have what it says here. There are some that would say, well, let's do it this way. God sending his own son in sinful flesh for flesh. You know what that would have meant? You might as well try to purchase salvation for the rest of us. But what does Paul say? And this is the beauty of the inspiration of the Word of God. The words are chosen and they have pinpoint accuracy, and there is a reason behind it. What does it say? God sending his own son in the what? Likeness of sinful flesh. Likeness of sinful flesh. What's that mean? John chapter 1, it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul put it this way, God hath made him who knew no sin to be what? Sin for us. This is the one and only human being that ever entered this world and left this world sinless. And that was his only begotten Son. He made him in the likeness of sinful flesh. Our Lord was man in every way with one exception. He did not have the sin nature in him. He was fully man. And everything the law demanded, man finally accomplished. Because he wasn't a sinner. But even just living the law wouldn't have brought your salvation or mine, because without the shedding of blood, there could be no what? Remission or forgiveness. Just fulfilling the law, if he'd have just done everything the law said, that wouldn't have done it. But he had to do what was necessary, and that was to shed his blood. So we see in verse 3, because of what God did, Paul said, as we begin to, as our title says, as believer, reader, here in this epistle, Paul says, we begin to move toward victory when we begin to understand what God did for us in his Son. He sent the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and it made us free from the law of sin and death. The law couldn't do it because it was weak in the flesh, but God provided your substitute, my substitute. And when he did that, and why did he send him? Verse 3 tells us exactly why God sent his Son. Two words. What were they? Pardon? For sin. That's the only reason God sent his Son from heaven. For sin. Aren't you thankful for the inclusion of those two words as we approach the Christmas season? I know it's an old cliche, and we often see it on scripture, on Christmas cards. Let's keep Christ in Christmas. You bet, let's keep him, because his coming was for what purpose? Two words. It was for sin. And so we find, because God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, what was accomplished? He condemned sin in the flesh. Whose flesh? Yours and mine. Because it says, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead unto righteousness, should live. You see why I'm calling this some meat this morning? This is good stuff. This is not something just to, well, let's see how quick we can read these verses and go on and be about our happy way. This is precious, solid meat. But this is important truth for you and me to get not just in our heads, but to get into our hearts. Now let's try to put some of this stuff together. Paul made that amazing statement in verse 1, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And he validated the truth in verses 2 through 4. And he says, here's how come there's no condemnation anymore. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made us free from the law of sin and death. There was condemnation through sin. But Christ and what He was able to accomplish, He was able to accomplish what none of us could. Nothing wrong with God's law, the standard, the goal, but there was no one that could live up to it, and so God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, and He condemned that sin in the flesh, yours and mine. Now we begin to say, well, wait a minute. Here Paul is showing us what this means, what he taught us in chapter 6, that we died, we're dead indeed unto sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. We move on to verse 4. That the righteousness or the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled. Remember, we said there was nothing wrong with the law, just nobody could keep it. The law was good, it was holy, it was pure. And what Christ did for you and me made possible. Positionally, it happened. In Christ, we fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, but you say, Pastor, how do you explain this struggle? How do you explain this? Remember what I said earlier? I like what one author suggested. And that is, as long as we're alive, we're still going to have those old tendencies. Temptation is still going to look pretty good. And here's where now, remember, Romans 6 was our part. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and stop turning your members of your body over to fulfill those old desires. Oh, but Pastor, how? I struggle, I fail. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul tells us the answer. And he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We are opening the door this morning to victory. And the key is to begin to learn how to walk in the Spirit, in the Spirit's power. Well, what good is the Spirit's power? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is an overcoming power to the law of sin and death that was operative in our members. That's what is so important about. I need to learn, I need to understand, I need to come to know, what does it mean to walk in, through, by the Spirit? These are truths that we're going to see in weeks to come. There is victory, beloved. It's not in your power. It's not in your strength any more than it's in the strength of this wallet to pick itself up off the floor. You and I need the overcoming power as we yield our members now as instruments of righteousness unto God. We need the overcoming power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be yielding ourselves to Him. We need to be committing ourselves unto Him. And Paul will be showing us more in the coming verses. The clock on the wall says the time is gone. The bulletin says that next Sunday there's going to be a special Christmas message, which means that you better be here 2 weeks from today if you want to continue on in this truth. If you want to chew on some more of the meat of the Word, you want victory? You can never get it in yourself, and neither can I. But the victory has been made possible. Let's ask God to help us, show us how we can experience this victory, how we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A defeated Christian is a miserable Christian. But may I say that when we look at chapters 6, 7, and 8, that almost qualifies as an oxymoron. Really shouldn't be such a thing as a defeated Christian as far as victory over sin in their lives. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be able to take the seed that has been scattered this morning. We've likened it unto that solid meat. I pray, Lord, that you would help each and every believer here to take to heart the precious truth. We don't have to struggle in the flesh anymore. The law of gravity, the law of sin and death it's always going to be there as long as we are in these physical lives. But through the power of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you have made us free from that. Help us to learn how it works in our lives. Take these truths, plant them deep in our hearts. Be preparing us for the next time we have opportunity to return to this portion and move on in the teaching that Paul has given us. For your glory and honor, I pray, Lord, in the days to come, may there be more of your children that are walking in the light as you are in the light, experiencing the victory rather than the turmoil, struggle, and defeat. In your name we pray and thank you. Amen.